Our topic for today is forgiving and learning to forget. A recap for those who have been unable to attend all the sessions in this five-part series called Healing Broken Relationships. We began with talking about things that cause brokenness in relationships, then moved to the irrational ideas and unrealistic expectations. And then yesterday we addressed the issue of walking in the other person's shoes or seeing the other person's side. Today we're going to focus on the issue of forgiveness, and we touched a little bit on it yesterday in our discussion. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to begin by reading a story about Sister Anne and forgiveness. It began in the springtime. There was a very devout nun named Anne who began to have visions of the Lord Jesus. These usually happened in the evening as she said her prayers. It wasn't only that she saw someone. She was somehow sure it was the Lord, for Jesus would talk with her as one talked to a best friend. Sometimes they would laugh, and sometimes they would cry. After the visions, Anne could never quite remember what they had talked about. Yet she never forgot the feeling of being utterly surrounded by love. A little afraid of how he might respond, Anne decided to share the stories of her visions with her confessor, Father Andrews. Although he had never had a reason to doubt Sister Anne, and although the story somehow warmed his heart, Father Andrews just couldn't quite believe that Jesus was coming on a regular basis to speak with this quiet nun. So he devised a test which he believed would prove if the visions were genuine or not. "Sister Anne," he said, "I very much want to believe you, but I think we must be certain. This is what I'd like you to do the next time Jesus appears to you. Ask him about the terrible and shameful sin I committed last week. Ask Jesus to tell you what it was, for you see, I have been so ashamed that I've spoken of it only to God in my prayers, as I have begged for forgiveness. If he knows the sin, then he must be the Lord." Sister Anne, feeling not quite comfortable about this, nevertheless agreed. She would ask Jesus about Father Andrew's sin the next time he appeared. Sister Anne didn't have to wait long, for the very next evening, the Lord appeared. As always, she shared everything of her heart, feeling his love and hearing his gentle words. She almost forgot to ask the question. Finally, she said, "Lord, Father Andrews believes we must be sure that you really are our Lord. He said that last week he committed a terrible sin that he's only spoken to God about. He told me to ask you what it was." Jesus was silent for a short time, and his eyes filled with compassion and wisdom. "Sister Anne, I love both you and Father Andrews very much, but I cannot answer your question." Then he answered the question in her eyes. "You see, I don't remember," he said. This is an example of God's forgiveness, total forgiveness and forgetting. What Joe is going to address today is some of the issues of human forgiveness, and would like to open a discussion on it.
When you hear that story, I think, and when you really grasp the meaning of Christ, God forgiving and, in fact, forgetting, we see how far in our own forgiveness we have to go to reach that example or to meet that example or perhaps that challenge. And yet, I think there are many ways in which we certainly can and do both experience forgiveness and give forgiveness on a person-to-person level that can be very meaningful, if not quite as perfect as the example that Kat read. There are a couple of resources for today's presentation, and I mentioned them yesterday. I wanted to just mention them again before we started. One of them is a book that I came across, that Pat came across here in the bookstore, called Forgive and Forget, Healing the Hurts We Don't Deserve by Lewis B. Smeads. As I said before, I think I'm pronouncing that name right. Anybody can correct me? Is it Smeads? Okay. Really a very good book. Lots of things in here. And I have taken some of the material and added it to the lecture or notes that I'd prepared to talk with you about anyway. And I certainly would recommend it to you. There's another book that I've been talking about here at Holden. It's called Making Peace with Your Parents, a book by Harold Bloomfield, a psychiatrist who wrote about dealing with forgiveness. There are a couple of other books that Harold Peterson has talked with me about, and I'm sorry I left the note in the room, Harold, so I can't give those, but maybe you could put you on the spot here, and you could...
Agnes Sanford's Behold Your God, but I think the new title is In the Healing Touch of God, either title. And then John and Paula Sanford, S-A-N-D-F-O-R-D, from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, have a book on the healing of the wounded spirit and the transformation of the inner man, both of which have quite a bit about forgiveness in them.
Just some references for you as you think about this topic and perhaps would like to do some more reading. I would like to refer again to Smeads here and just read what he says about forgiveness, the kind of forgiveness that we need to struggle with. He says in his book, "Forgiving is love's revolution against life's unfairness. When we forgive, we ignore the normal laws that strap us to the natural law of getting even, and by the alchemy of love, we release ourselves from our own painful past. We fly over a dues-paying morality in order to create a new future out of the past's unfairness. We free ourselves from the wrong that is locked into our private histories. We unshackle our spirits from malice, and maybe, if we're lucky, we also restore a relationship that would otherwise be lost forever. Forgiving is a miracle. However, few of us have the magic to perform it easily. Never underestimate the demands that forgiveness puts on the average person's modest power to love. Some skeptics, when they heard Jesus forgive people, challenged, "Who can forgive sins but God alone?" The English novelist Charles Williams remarked that forgiving is really a game. We can only play at it, he said. Essentially, we cannot do it. Nobody seems to be born with much talent for forgiving. We all need to learn from scratch, and the learning almost always runs against the grain. We talk a good forgiving line as long as somebody else needs to do it, but few of us have the heart for it while we are dangling from one end of a bond broken by somebody else's cruelty. Yet people do forgive, ordinary people, not saints, and they do heal themselves of terrible pain. So the good word, I think, really, for today, out of Smeads' book, out of our discussion, is going to be that forgiveness is tough, and complete forgiveness is often very difficult in terms of the ultimate reconciliation of a relationship, but that forgiveness is possible. And so I want to share some thoughts with you about it and some steps that I think are involved in that process of forgiveness. Then, too, we want to do just a couple of exercises with you, some things that you can do just kind of privately where you're sitting that may help you to get a little better handle on forgiveness in your own situation or in a relationship or a situation that you're struggling with. First of all, I think it's important to see that forgiveness is not a feeling, it is an act of the will. So that we decide to forgive somebody. If we sit around and wait to a point, to get to a point where we feel like forgiving somebody, where we feel ready, we probably are going to wait all of our lives and never get to that point. So I think it's important to see that forgiveness is a decision, not a feeling. Forgiveness, it's important to see, also is a process rather than a one-time event. I think sometimes when we talk about forgiving and when we want to experience forgiveness, we want to have that sense of thunderbolt in our life. We want to have that sense of cleansed wholeness. We want to have that sense of the miraculous that comes to us. Talked earlier when we were talking about men and the struggles that men have around their spiritual lives, talked about the fact that men often want God to perform on cue for them. And I think we often do that with forgiveness too. When we finally get around to a point where we think maybe we could begin, possibly, a little bit to forgive somebody, all of a sudden we want to have this tremendous experience of release because we have forgiven. And I think it's important to see that it doesn't usually work that way. That forgiveness is something that we sometimes have to do over and over. 70 times 7. If you remember the fable from yesterday, one pebble at a time gets removed from the heaviness of our heart when we accept and when we forgive. Thirdly, I think it's important to see that when we forgive others, we forgive ourselves. And we too experience the power of forgiveness. There are many passages of Scripture that speak to that. Mark 11:25. And whenever you stand praying, forgive if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. We're so interested, aren't we, in getting things in our life, and it's so hard to give. We want people to accept us. We want people to understand us. We want people to see our shortcomings and permit them. We want people to forgive our mistakes and our behaviors, but it's so difficult for us to do that for somebody else. So difficult for us to see their shortcomings and accept them. So difficult for us to understand where they are struggling in their life. So difficult for us to forgive them for the hurt that we feel. So I'd like to talk here a little bit about now then the steps in this process of forgiveness. With that as a kind of an introduction, I thought I'd put a few things up on the board. Basically, I think there are 5 steps that we need to consider in this whole process, and I thought we can just outline them, get them out, then we can work with them a little bit. The first step is we hurt. I'll use a little bit of the language of Smead's book here for some of these. And also I'd like to, since we want to talk about forgiving others, but certainly one area of forgiveness that sometimes we all need too is forgiving ourselves. I'm going to try to speak to what these steps mean in forgiving ourselves too. Sometimes one of the most significant kinds of forgiveness we really need is to allow forgiveness for ourselves. So we hurt and are hurt by others. That, of course, is the first step. There has to be a situation. There has to be an incident. There has to be a conflict. There has to be a confrontation of some kind. And it has to be relatively major. You know, there are lots of things that happen to us that don't need to be forgiven. Somebody steps on our toes. Somebody cuts in line for the ice cream at the snack shop. Well, those are somewhat serious kinds of kinds of altercations between people, but certainly they aren't at the level of forgiveness. And so we talk primarily about more major kinds of issues that really require forgiveness. The event, the behavior, the insult, the cruelty alienates us from other people. So there's a distancing that occurs right off the bat when something, when we have really been hurt by someone, or when we hurt someone else. We distance ourselves from them, and certainly we push them away from us. The second step is that we feel. Along with this event comes feelings that we experience. Most of the time, those feelings center around anger. They center around guilt. They center around loss, sometimes shame, sometimes hate. But possibly these two feelings ultimately become the strongest feelings that are created by the hurt that needs forgiveness. The person who has caused us hurt, and also ourselves, for the hurt that we have caused others. So we can both experience these feelings, and we can experience these feelings in our hurt. We can give them and we can get them. But oftentimes, again, as in yesterday's example with Fuch, that what has to be dealt with, if we're going to get past to forgiveness, is the anger or the hate that we feel toward the person that has hurt us, or that they feel toward us. The third step in this process of forgiveness is that we begin to heal. And this, it's in this step that we have to get more specific. There are several things that need to happen, it seems to me, if we are going to heal and begin to forgive. One of the things is what we talked about yesterday, and that is we have to see the other side. If we're talking about somebody who has hurt us, if we're talking about a conflict that we've experienced where we have been hurt, where we have been humiliated, where we have been abused in some way, and when we have developed feelings that are very strong, that we can't let go of, one of the first steps in the beginning stages of healing those feelings is to try to see that person in a new way, to try to see the humanness in that person, to try to see the shortcomings, the difficulties, the problems, the stress, the conditions that might have created or contributed to that person's hurting us in the way that they did. And that doesn't mean yet that we're quite ready to forgive them, or that we have forgiven them, but we do have to begin to look at that person in a new way. We have to want to do that. And that's what we mean by intention, that forgiveness is intention. That you can't go further unless you are willing to see the person behind the pain. The next step is then, there's a sub-step here, that we begin to heal by acceptance of, let's call them shortcomings in that person. Or, again, if we're talking about ourselves, by seeing ourselves, or we're talking about forgiving ourselves, by seeing what is it, what ways in which are we limited? What are the things that cause difficulties for us in our lives that we have to see about ourselves, the handicaps that we struggle with that may have contributed to behavior that has done something very wrong to somebody else? Second part then, or the second sub-point here, is that we make that decision to forgive. We decide it is something that we want to do. This is what we call will. we do have to have the intention. We do have to will the decision. We cannot just wait for it to happen. And we may have to will it again and again. The third subset is something that's what I call not the will, but the skill. And that's when, in fact, we act out our efforts to forgive. And how do we do that? Well, there are a number of ways in which we can act out an effort to forgive or begin to work on forgiveness. We talked about a little exercise and showed you a little exercise yesterday that is one way to work on that. We're going to do another one today. We can ask ourselves, or we can in a sense require ourselves to begin to do some things to act out the skill of forgiveness. We have to have the will to start with, but we also need to move to the skill level. One way would be to, if that person is available to us, to go to that person and ask, for example, if it's us, to ask for forgiveness from the other person for our part in the problem. Another way is to practice forgiving in our own behavior, our attitudes, or our thoughts. Another way is to attempt reconciliation in whatever ways that we can. So we have to actually put the decision to forgive into some kind of practice. We're going to come back to this in a few minutes more specifically. And then four, we experience reconciliation. At some level, I made it so vague you can't see whether I spelled it wrong, but I think there are two L's in reconciliation. We come together in some way, whether it be, actually maybe it's better, rather than say we experience reconciliation, I think what I'd rather say is that we do come together.
Easy to spell.
Yeah, it's easier to spell too. We come together in ways that are sometimes short of full reconciliations. We talked about yesterday, a couple of people came up with examples of the fact that, well, how do you reconcile with somebody who isn't alive? Or how do you experience reconciliation with somebody who does not want to reconcile with you? You can't, really. There are things that we have limitations on in terms of our control over the other person. But we come together in some ways with the person or with ourselves simply by having taken that step ourselves, by beginning to work on forgiveness from our perspective. And five, we move beyond the conflict. And of course, that's the goal of our forgiveness, to free ourselves up and to free the other person up from the conflict that has blocked our ability to experience ourselves and that other person in a more full and effective way. We can go on then in our ability to risk and to love again. We can try again in other relationships. We can work again in other relationships. And then along with that, that moving beyond, is forgetting. That forgetting is also a process. Talked about forgiveness being a process. Forgetting is a process. People often ask, well, how is it possible that we could, or they'll often say, I think I can forgive, but I don't think I can ever forget what happened to me at the hands of that person. The fact of the matter is, I believe that we can forget, and that we do forget, but it's forgetting in a little bit of a different way than we typically think about it. And it isn't necessarily forgetting in the way that our story spoke to God's forgetting our sins. First of all, in fact, people do forget situations that have been very painful to them. They forget the pain. When we forgive somebody and when we move beyond the conflict, we can and we do forget the pain. That is forgetting at some level. We may not have forgotten the whole incident, we may have not forgotten the whole situation, but we do forget the pain. We often forget the event also for a period of time and then possibly remember it again. Or it presents it to itself to us in a way when we don't expect it. But we can sometimes forget for periods of time and then remember it again. We forget in stages. We forget a little at a time. We don't always forget completely, but we can experience forgetting at some level. Perhaps incomplete, just as our reconciliation is incomplete, but we do experience some forgetting. It's like mourning. You don't all at once decide to give up the pain and forget the loss that you've experienced and the loss of someone close to you. On the other hand, those of you who have gone through loss, loss that's been very painful, know that as you move on in your life, there is a forgetting that is involved. You do forget the intensity of the pain, and you do forget the even the loss for periods of time. You don't necessarily forget the person. We rarely forget a person who has been important to us. We certainly probably wouldn't want to forget a person who has been important to us. But we do forget that pain. We don't think of it every moment of the day the way we do in the beginning. We don't think of that person every moment of the day, and we don't feel the knife of our pain in our gut every minute of the day. And so forgiving can result in forgetting. We can move beyond the pain, but we have to be willing to give up the pain. We have to be willing to give up the conflict, and that's where the intention comes in. So when we forgive, we are forgiven. When we forgive, we can let go. When we let go, we can begin to forget. And when we begin to forget, we can move on. All right, that's a kind of an overview of how people forget, or of how people can and do forgive. As I look at that, it's written so crazily that you probably can't even read it, but helps me to kind of think about it in those terms. I'd like now to take you through a little exercise. Remember yesterday we talked about, is there a person with whom you are in conflict at this time? Is there a person who you need to forgive? Perhaps it's yourself, but more likely it's somebody else that has hurt you in some way, hurt you rather deeply. Perhaps it's a person who isn't around. Perhaps it's a person who you can't ever be reconciled with. Perhaps it's a person who's dead. Perhaps it's one of your parents or both of your parents, perhaps not. I'd like you, though, to think about a situation that you are experiencing difficulty with and a person you are having trouble forgiving. And I want to do a little exercise with you just to give you an idea of one of the kinds of things that we could try to do in intentionally coming to terms with this person. Now, you do have to want to forgive this person. I'm going to pass out some paper, and I'd like you to, I don't know if I have enough, but maybe some of you have some. I'd like you to take one sheet and just fold it down the middle lengthwise so that you have two sides. And I hope you have a pencil with you. If you don't have pencil with you, then pass it on to somebody who does have pencil. And maybe we could pass them on this side too, Pat. And you'll write that out longhand, just as I did on print it, whichever you wish. And as you do that, immediately as you finish, I want you to write whatever thought comes into your mind. Perhaps the next thought is, no, I don't. Okay? That's okay. Write that. And then again, you write, I forgive you. Why should I? I forgive you. No, I hate you. Whatever it is that comes to mind, I want you to write. And I want you to do that for about 5 minutes. And I don't want you to stop writing until you get to a point where you are writing, I forgive you, and there is either nothing there, or there is something affirming the fact that you do forgive that person. Yes, I do. I can. I will. I mean it. Whatever. So continue to just go ahead and write.
Also, you may be coming up with, I forgive you, yes, I can, before you get to the affirmation. So keep on doing it until you just are...
So you run out of negatives.
Yeah.
Go ahead and do that for a few minutes and keep going. I know it seems kind of funny, feels kind of funny. Anytime we do something that involves our feelings, sometimes feels uncomfortable. Just work with it a little bit. Just see what's there. Those of you who are writing, just keep going. Those of you who aren't writing, I'd like you to think about, again, if you'd like to look at this business of forgiveness and acceptance for yourself, I'd like you to still think about somebody you're in conflict with. Go through the people in your mind and your relationships and see if you can identify somebody who you are struggling with, because we want to do something else that you can participate in if you wish. Those of you who are writing, just keep going as long as you need to. Stop whenever you'd like as well. This is again a way to try to get at what's inside, what's blocking forgiveness. What is it about your feelings and your thinking that is keeping you from forgiving? What is it that you can work through, that you can intentionally work with, that could bring you to a better place? While they're continuing to do that, I wanted to go further, and really, some of you were in the workshop yesterday, or in our discussion yesterday about acceptance, and we did an exercise then that also is an example of how we can try to work through this process of forgiveness. I took it off of the board, but it's actually an exercise that would come under the heading also of the decision to forgive, and it is really the first step in that decision to give or to forgive. And because we were working in the village center yesterday, and because it was very noisy, and because it was the first time that most of you had done it, we thought it might be helpful, and might be you might want to repeat that exercise. And so I invite those of you who wish to follow along with this exercise that Pat's going to do in a minute. It is an exercise where Pat will ask you to close your eyes and find a relaxed place and imagine a situation. Remember, I was just asking you to think about a conflict situation. I now want you to think about that person, that conflict person, and for some of you who were here yesterday, perhaps it'll be the same person that you were struggling with yesterday. Yesterday, we asked you to identify three things about that person who you are in conflict with, who hurt you. Three aspects of that person's life or experience or physical being or learning that could help you understand their brokenness. Perhaps that person was handicapped in some way. Handicapped in terms of their ability to understand or be sensitive to your needs. Perhaps that person came out of a childhood that you know something about that might have created a very difficult ability for them to really relate effectively. Perhaps that person is suffering under limitations that are financial or pressures that you are just vaguely aware of. But I'd like you to try to identify three ways or three things that might help you see that person from the point of view of their limitations. And Pat's going to work with you in an exercise of relaxation and relaxed imagery that can help you come to terms with that too. Pat, you want to do that?
You were here yesterday. in the session. Okay. For those who have not been worked with us yesterday, this is a visualization exercise. It's relaxation. It has nothing to do with hypnosis, so don't be afraid of it. It's just going to relax your body and kind of get you in tune with your breathing, and then present an image for you to just concentrate on. Okay. Find a relaxed position. Kind of take your glasses off if you have glasses. It works better. If your feet are flat on the floor, for some reason, I feel it works best for me. But if you're comfortable up there, fine. Okay. Just kind of settle back and relax. Close your eyes. Just relax for a few moments. As you begin to feel the quiet descend over you, take a few nice, easy, deep breaths. As you breathe in, think of breathing in the peace and calm of Christ. Hold it and breathe out all the tension and struggles of the day. Again, breathe in the peace and calm of Christ. Hold it and blow out the tension and struggles of the day. I want you to relax your body and your mind. For a few moments, block out any noise or disturbances you might hear inside or outside the room. You need not pay attention to it. In the same way, allow any distracting or random thoughts inside your head to pass through. You need not pay attention to them for a few moments. Very good. You can relax and take a few moments for yourself. Moments you can use to see things in a new way. Now I want you to bring to mind a person you have been hurt by or in conflict with. See that person in your mind standing before you. Notice what they look like, their face, the clothes they're wearing. See them as clearly and as in as much detail as you can. Now as you see them standing before you, you notice something around their neck. It is a chain, and attached to each end to a heavy piece of rough wood, almost like a railroad tie. There's a sign. Notice too that on the wood is something written. Look closely and read what is there. As the writing comes clear, you see what it is. It's a description of their limitations, the problems and handicaps you know they labored under. It's a description of their brokenness. Notice how the weight of the wood and the heaviness of their burden makes their neck bend and their shoulders stoop, almost pulling them over and down. Understand more clearly how they were hurt and how that hurt may have contributed to their hurting you. How did they, out of their own hurt, their own struggle, and handicaps, distort you? Now allow Christ to come into this picture. See the radiant, healing light that surrounds Christ. Both you and the other person are encompassed in God's healing light. Christ reaches over and lifts the heavy burden of brokenness, of wood and chain, from the neck of the person, and then places it around his own neck. As he does, the person's back straightens. They raise their head and neck, and they look different to you. You begin to see that person as whole, as the person they would be without the weight of their own hurts and brokenness. See yourself now for a few moments, healed and whole, both in the light and hope of Christ. Bring that image of healing and wholeness back with you to this room. After a moment, open your eyes and share part of your experience if you wish.
Another way in which we can intentionally begin the process of forgiveness by seeing that other person and accepting their limitations, we begin that process. No, one step back. By deciding that we wish to forgive, we begin the process. By seeing that person who has hurt us and the limitations that they labor under and that they have struggled with, we start the process. By actively forgiving, the exercise of writing, deciding to forgive, seeking reconciliation, looking to and being willing to give up our hurt, in those processes, we begin the process of forgiving. But again, it's a process. It's something that goes beyond just a one-time experience. Why don't we stop here, though, now, and let you react to some of these thoughts and the two exercises, and let's talk a little bit about it. Anybody have a reaction, a thought, a feeling, or a response?
I think we all have one.
Yeah, I thought I was going to have a certain person in my mind when I came here that I was going to deal with and that I was going to exercise, and it turned out to be someone entirely different. And that person just kept coming down, even though I would try to say, this is the person I want to forgive today. The other person kept coming into my mind, and I hadn't even thought of them for years.
Mm-hmm. And was it someone who you had felt hurt by?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good example of how we're not always sure what our agenda is, are we? And the conscious agenda is one thing, and the unconscious agenda is often another. Okay. Good. Anybody else have a thought or a response?
I'd like to hear from the people who did the written exercise. I wasn't able to write, so I was trying to do it in my head. But,
Well, we can do that if they wish to share it. All of these things are personal, and so you can share at any level you wish. Is there anybody who did the exercise that that would like to share any kind of reaction, good, bad, or indifferent to it? Anything you learned? Anything that Any response that anybody wants to give?
Seems like a very good exercise you could do privately when you're having a new problem, so to speak, up at work or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to have a nice effect. You do get all the negatives out of the way and end up with a blank mind.
Yeah. That's the intention, to kind of clear out the stuff that seems to be blocking us. And I think the helpful thing about the writing part is that we write it down and we see it. So many times those thoughts are circulating, but they're not really clear to us. And when we can see it down there, sometimes things pop out a little bit, like the experience that was just reported, that something comes out that we're really not aware of. Yes?
I wasn't writing, but in my mind, I was thinking, I forgive you, and I got to the point where I really felt that I was forgiving. But in the visualization then, I couldn't quite get that chain off. And so that means that you hadn't really forgiven me.
You mean in the visualization you...
Where the image of Christ is there.
You didn't...
And this other person... It didn't get off.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Had you clearly visualized what that chain was? Or had you clearly thought about what those limitations might be? Okay.
So could that mean that I didn't get through the first process?
Well, actually we did them, in a sense, from the way I see it, in reverse order. That the visualization, as I grasp what has to happen in forgiveness, I believe should come second, before we would do the forgiveness part. Because I think that there is an acceptance of the other person or an understanding of the other person that has to come. What Smeads calls seeing through magic eyes, seeing in a new way, you know, walking a mile in that person's shoes. When we can do that, when we can take that first step, then I think we can also, I think we can do a better job of forgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've already begun to see the person in a new way. I think it's difficult to forgive somebody if we don't have a sense, if all we have is a sense of that person as offender or monster, depending on how badly they've hurt us.
Mm-hmm.
If we can see the person behind the pain, behind the hurt, then I think we have a better opportunity to forgive. So it's a little hard for me to answer your question because I don't know why you might still be stuck there. I was kind of getting at it from the point of view that I wondered if you were stuck because you somehow were not able to, you said you couldn't let those handicaps come off of that person. My thought was perhaps you hadn't visualized it very clearly what they were, or you didn't. Somehow they were unacceptable to you or weren't enough of what really might explain that person's behavior.
Yeah. Another point might be, too, is there is resistance. And I think when I counsel people, I know that it's a struggle for people to automatically do two exercises and have the expectations of forgiveness to be there totally. And I think you have to practice this. This is, you're changing a behavior. You're going from spending a lot of time of disliking or hating a person and all of a sudden switching gears in terms of forgiving. And that means love, you know. And I think maybe we have to recognize sometimes there's going to be some resistance. And that's maybe what you were experiencing, possibly.
I think a way to work with that would be to continue to use that exercise for yourself till you can allow that cross, in a sense, to be removed from that person.
Mm-hmm.
So until you can see them more whole. And it may take going back over.
I had the same problem that this lady had when it came to that part, getting the yoke off the person's shoulders. But part of the reason that I felt that I had that problem is because the person with whom I was envisioning hid behind this himself, that he was, I don't feel, or from what this person has told me, he's not ready to take that those insecurities off of himself, that this is something that shields him from his church or from life or from enacting out in relationships.
Yes.
And so since he is not ready to
okay. But keep in mind that in this perspective, that what we want to do through that exercise is for us, for our mind's eye, to take those things away from the person to see them more whole. They may not want to let them go. They might have nothing to do with that exercise if you told them that this is what you had done. They might not agree with those handicapping conditions. But the perspective that we want to look at it from is, how can I see something about this person that helps me to understand them in a more positive way? So I would make that one comment. The second thing is, it's important to allow Christ to take that burden rather than for you to take it off. And I think most of us would believe that Christ would want to take it off, would want to remove us and others of those kind of handicapping conditions. Mm-hmm. And so maybe from that perspective you could experience that the next time.
You ever come around and take yourself off the hook? My last statement is, I forgive you, I never do a lot of facts. So I'm really coming around and saying, maybe I'm at fault.
Yeah. Right? Well, but that's it. See, that's the shift in perspective. Mm-hmm. That's... I see that I don't understand everything about you, and certainly even in three things, we don't understand the limitations of a person. But the perspective is, how can I see you differently? How can I see you not just as the person that that attacked me and humiliated me in front of my family? How can I get past that one perspective of you, which is certainly true, it happened, and it wasn't good and it wasn't right, but how can I get past that to what may be a part of your life that got you or that allowed you to do that? And the same would be then true of us. How can I let go of and how can I see myself in terms of what I'm limited at and how I might have hurt somebody else?
I have always found that if I have something against someone, I have to forgive myself first. Because you are naturally, if someone hurts you, most of the time you're at fault someplace. I'm not saying where, it might be very hard to find, but I always find that when I have to forgive myself first, then I can forgive them.
Yeah.
I can't forgive them until I forgive myself first. Mm.
Except, I agree with you in some form, but except there are many situations in which people are hurt and have not contributed.
Well, that's true, too.
You know, we talked a little bit about this yesterday, child abuse, for example. A child being abused by parents who the child has no control over. You know, that we can't hold that child accountable for that. There certainly are, though, many relationships in which we have participated in that brokenness. Again, I agree, and many, not all, though. Because there again would be times where we walk down the street and we're minding our own business and someone steps out and does something horrible to us. And I suppose we could say, well, I shouldn't have been walking down that street, but you know. But I know the spirit of your response, and I agree with it. That,
I'm not talking about those kinds of things. I'm talking about everything with your friends and things like that. I have to forgive myself.
We talked yesterday, for example, about the 30% rule, the notion that in most conflicts between two people, each person has to own at least 30% of the problem because we usually contribute in some fashion. So somebody else, I thought, had their hand up over there. Yeah, Carol?
I always talk. The interesting thing with mine is that when I did the paperwork, I finished what I started last night, so it was just the reverse of this writing over here. I went to the visualization and was able to finish it. And the imaging that came up, when Jesus took the chain off the other fellow, And then he turned to me, and that was the first time I noticed I had one on too. Mm-hmm. And in the conflict then, he asked if I would release the chain from my neck, which was part of the conflict between the two. So that's somewhat of what she was saying there too.
Mm-hmm.
My responsibility in the process too.
Mm-hmm. This is, I think, a very good point, and I think, again, it points to how complex sometimes our forgiveness can be. There are many kinds of things, many kinds of conflicts that require forgiveness. Some of them, as you've been saying, and as you're commenting on, maybe involve us in some ways too. And that exercise then for you spontaneously became a way to deal with something more than just being hurt. Mm-hmm. Good.
I think too, what happens, we all always assume that people are going to feel the hurt the same way we are going to feel a hurt. And our definition of a hurt and our description of a hurt will vary from person to person. So you have to keep that in mind, too.
We're getting right close to where the bell is going to ring. I just wanted to say before we stop, again, use these kinds of exercises not as a one-time kind of shot, but use them along with an intention to forgive, a decision to forgive, and understand the process of healing and forgiveness as a process, not as a one-time event. And when I think you see it from that point, there is healing in those relationships.